Hello, and welcome to Outside of Mormonism. My name is Lee Dockan, and I'm here to focus on what leaving Mormonism is like. I know there are some people out there who are questioning the Mormon Church and the teachings. Growing up in an organization that has helped you form your whole life and perspective of the world, living outside of that can be a scary thought. While everyone's experience is different, I'm here to share mine. For me growing up, my whole family was Mormon. This included most of my extended family and their ancestors. There was little to no knowledge of what life was really like outside of their beloved church. Mormonism kept them safe and sound. They didn't have to make many decisions for themselves. No one knew what the outside world might bring them. I would say that many of you who grew up in the church would understand what that would feel like. We're all told to be in the world, but not of the world. Naturally, as anyone does, I started to have questions about some of the practices of the church. I was getting older, about 13 years old, and trying to build an understanding of why I was doing what I was doing. It was nothing too crazy, but enough to ask my parents some questions. I was told to pray and study the Book of Mormon. Anytime I confided in my parents about my doubts, that was about all I would get. Pray and read the scriptures. I wanted more concrete answers, and I wasn't getting them. As time went on and I got older, about 15 to 14 years old, I started to feel depressed. I also dealt with a lot of anxiety. My grandfather was a psychologist, and my mom urged me to talk to him. I would say this was the start of the end. My grandpa explained to me that I was struggling with my mental health because I was probably an alcoholic. I just want to clarify that I had never had a sip of alcohol in my life at this point. I don't think I'd ever been physically exposed to it. Next, he said the only way to better my health was to go through the repentance process of all my sins, pray, and read the scriptures. For a while now, I'd felt very isolated from the world, including school, friends, and family. But now I was under the impression that I was alone, all alone in the world, and the only way to fix it was to blindly follow something I don't truly know anything about. I also felt like I was unworthy of being happy because of all these alleged sins I had racked up over the years. I was a relatively good kid, maybe a little sassy, but never aggressive or outwardly defiant. Eventually, I resorted to what any teen would do. I rebelled. I was taught that I had to be one way for my whole life. Dress modestly, speak politely, stay clean of substances, which included coffee and tea, and save myself for marriage. When these ideas were presented to me, it came off in a way that made it seem, if I was not the perfect Mormon, I was a product of Satan. That idea was probably less so a product of the church and more so how my mother made it seem. So I did everything I was ever told not to do. Of course, to an extent. I drank alcohol. I smoked. And I sexually interacted with boys. I said bad words. I hid things from my parents. And I despised going to church. I was everything my parents didn't want in a child. And compared to my other siblings, I was totally, quote, out of control, as my mom likes to put it. There was nothing anyone could do to bring the light back into my eyes, as they would like to say. My parents even forced me to go to our bishop and go through the repentance process for losing my virginity. I was 15 years old and alone, discussing my sex life with an old man. He asked me specific details, the extent of my sexual encounters before I had sex, and if I felt bad for what I did. It was completely inappropriate, and I never wanted to go back into that office. The bishop then proceeded to follow me around every Sunday and approach me when I was with my friends and ask when our next meeting was. I wanted to yell never, but I was so hopeless. I felt so alone. When I was at home, it felt like a cold war. I was always waiting to step on the bomb that would set my mother off. She would yell and scream over senseless things. I felt as if I was always her target. I was her punching bag. Nothing I ever did was right. If I didn't hug her whenever she felt like it, I was put in time out. Yes, time out at 15 years old. I always had to know what she wanted and when she wanted it. Some of the worst nights consisted of my family sitting around the kitchen table, eating dinner, and my mom bringing up things I've done that she didn't like. It might have been something like my grades, my running times, or something I might have said in the past. Whenever I made a mistake, the whole family knew. There was no forgiveness, but only being chastised. If I ever tried to stand up for myself or show any hurt or kind of emotion that she was talking badly about me, I would get yelled at and sent to time out, or maybe even my room without finishing dinner. At some point later on in the night, she would come to my room and say we had to talk. It would start off with some sort of half-ass apology and continue on to why I deserve to be treated like that. She would say things like, "If you don't want to suffer the consequences, then don't do the action." There were hardly ever true consequences, but only punishments that she came up with in order to embarrass and belittle me. These talks always ended in her yelling at me or slamming doors. At the end of the day, I was treated this way by her because I was not the perfect, quiet, blindly obedient little girl that she so desperately wanted. Eventually, the day came. My mom picked me up from track practice, and she calmly informed me that she had given away all of my clothes. She claimed that this was the consequence for having a messy room, and I should have known she would do this. I do admit that my room probably wasn't very clean. I was never given a clear verbal warning that she was going to donate my clothing if I didn't clean it up. I was devastated and naturally very angry. I've had enough. I was done. I had been pushed over the edge. I packed what little things I had left in my room and walked out of the front door while she wasn't looking. My friend was parked down the street to pick me up and take me back to her house. It took hours before my mom noticed. She tried to call the police to go get me, but they were unable to do anything because she knew where I was. She was too stubborn to come and get me. While I did choose to go, my mom wanted me to learn a lesson. And I did, just 6 months later. I had stayed with 4 to 5 different people at this point. I was tired, and I realized that no one really wanted me. I was a burden to everyone, including my parents. As a last resort, my parents sent me to live in Texas with my aunt and uncle and their 2 little girls. They quickly realized that I had too many problems for them to handle. They shipped me back to Georgia. I don't blame them for that. So I was stuck with my mom and dad again. Only this time, I was way more depressed. I didn't want to be Mormon. I didn't want to be part of the church. I wanted freedom to be myself and choose to believe what I wanted to believe. Being born into the church, I had no choice but to be Mormon. I had to go to church every Sunday. I sang the songs and learned the lessons and teachings, and I was presented the choice to get baptized at 8 years old. While I do say choice, I mean that very lightly. They say I get to make the decision, but in reality, I'm too young to understand what it really means. I was also heavily aware of the fact that if I spoke up and said I wasn't ready for it, I would have to do it anyway. Going back to when I was 16 and living with my parents again, I found it very difficult to carry out everyday activities. I could barely get out of bed in the morning, and if I did, I was always struck with extreme anxiety. My anxiety would get so bad that I would be throwing up until I couldn't anymore. I couldn't even muster the thought of eating. If I ever forced myself to eat, it would come right back up. Living like this was intense, and it only made my depression worse. I was so anxious that I would make my mother angry. I hated attending church and seminary. It was an everyday battle between my mental health and the religion being forced upon me. My struggles were apparent to everybody around me, especially my parents. I remember the night where things seemed close to hitting rock bottom. Like I said earlier, I did things I was told not to do. Part of it was to spite my parents, and the other part was out of curiosity of the world outside of the church. I had slipped up and my parents had finally found concrete evidence of me smoking weed with a friend. It was a text message they had been searching for on my phone. They wanted to find anything to incriminate me, and quite frankly, it wasn't very hard for them to do so. I knew I was in trouble. All of my siblings knew I was in trouble. I was scared and helpless. I went out on a limb and asked my dad to take a walk with me so we could talk. He was the more understanding parent, which is not saying much, and he agreed. While we were walking, I told him all of my mental struggles in detail. I want to give a heads up that this next part of the story includes the topic of suicide. You can skip ahead or stop listening at this point. I told my dad I was suicidal. I had been for a while now, and the thoughts were becoming overwhelming. I needed help. I knew I needed help. My dad listened closely as I went on. I told him calmly that if I was not given the help that I needed, I would kill myself. It wasn't a threat to him whatsoever. I just knew I genuinely needed help that I wasn't given. As our walk came to an end, he told me he would talk to my mother about it. My stomach dropped. I knew that while he wasn't exactly receptive to what I was saying, my mom would be even less so. They talked amongst themselves for days. They called my grandpa, who I'd mentioned earlier, and asked him for advice. When I heard that they had confided in him, that's when I knew I was doomed. They waited a few days and said they would give me an answer Monday after I got home from school. As soon as I got off the bus, I rushed inside. I was trying to be optimistic about the situation. My mother wasn't there. No one was there. I gave her a call and I asked her what the verdict was. She quickly got annoyed with me and told me I wouldn't be getting any help. I was going to be kicked out of the house. Later, I had learned that my grandpa told my parents that if they got me the help that I so desperately needed, it would be rewarding me for my bad behavior. I was hysterical. I didn't know what to do, but in that moment, I felt as if I couldn't live another minute. To spare the details, I attempted to commit suicide and waited for my parents to get home. Eventually, they got there, and their initial reaction was anger. I had left empty pill bottles on the kitchen table waiting for them to find it. They knew what they were dealing with. My mother didn't want to take me to the hospital. She thought it would be giving me what I wanted. Instead, my father threw me in the car and took me there. To make a long story short, I was okay. Well, physically. I ended up in an institution and spent my 17th birthday there. When I finally got out, things got better, for a little bit. It was December now, and we had winter break. School started again, and so did my mental illnesses. I was on a weird anti-anxiety medicine. Not only did it not help, it coupled my anxiety with extreme paranoia. I couldn't leave the house without having an overwhelming feeling of fear. I thought everyone was following me and trying to kill me. Of course, this didn't go over well with my parents. I could barely leave the house. One Monday, my parents sat me down. My mother expressed to me that she had given up on me. I no longer had to attend church, seminary, or even school. I didn't have to keep the rules. At first, I tried my hardest to do what they wanted me to do. I would go to school and seminary and try to carry out a normal day. While this was going on, my mom was giving me the coldest shoulder that she could. She never even looked at me. It hurt so much to feel her distaste for me as her daughter. I broke down to her, saying that I didn't want that kind of relationship with her. I wanted to be able to talk and work things out. She didn't say a single word to me. I was so alone. I couldn't get out of bed for school. I couldn't go to church. I just laid there for most days. It had almost been a week since she had told me she no longer cared about what I did. My mom asked if we could have a meeting the following Monday night. I agreed, and I talked to her. She informed me that I was no longer allowed to live under her roof. I had broken all of the family rules, and I was tearing the family apart. I had until Wednesday to be out of the house. I was shell-shocked. I didn't know what to do. I was scrambling to find someone to stay with. Everyone I asked would get a call from my mother stating that I was unfit to be in anyone's home. I was a horrible child, and they shouldn't take that upon themselves. Not only was I out of a home, but all my chances of finding a new one were being ruined. I didn't know what else to do, so I took a big chance and went to my school counselor. He was attending a local church and happened to know a family that took in foster kids. I was going to get the chance to live with them. That was when my whole life turned around. I was in a stable home, free from my traumas. I was finally able to focus on school and I excelled. I was surrounded by a family that showed me what love was really like. Through this family, I met the Cokes. The Cokes attended the same church that the family I was living with did. I hung out with the mom, Shelly, and would go on family outings with them. They helped put clothes on my back and love in my heart. The best part of our growing relationship was that Shelly just so happened to be ex-Mormon too. It wasn't the basis of our relationship, and she didn't take me under her wings because I was also from a Mormon background. She truly cared for me. Shelly and her husband Jacob had left the church later in their life for different reasons. They taught me a lot about the history of the church and inconsistencies in their teachings. I do want to say that they didn't do this with any bad intentions. I was curious and constantly trying to learn as much about my background as I could. Eventually, the Koch family asked me to be their kid. their beloved daughter. I was elated. For the first time in my life, someone wanted me. They loved me and they wanted me to be part of their family. After years of feeling alone and isolated, I was wanted. I moved in with them, and while the healing process was long and hard, they helped me get through it. My past is something that I am still working through today, nearly 4 years later, but I am surrounded by a family who loves me. They want the best for me. I got 3 new siblings, too. I finally felt like I belonged somewhere. Of course, this enraged my mom. When she had kicked me out, her intentions were for me to come crawling back to accept her and the church because I couldn't make it out there on my own. Not only did I make it, but I thrived. I was easily able to get clean, and my mental health struggles diminished quickly. I was finally able to fall asleep with little to worry about. For the first time in my life, I was comfortable. While my story is intense and heartbreaking, I do understand that my experience in the church was riddled with emotional abuse from my mother. When I didn't want to accept the church, she didn't want me anymore. That does happen in Mormon families, but it's not as common as I want anyone to think. It was traumatic, and part of it was the church, and the other part was my mother. While I was going through all of this, hardly anyone from my ward had reached out to me or offered any help. I was young, afraid, and alone. I also understand that things worked out for me. It doesn't always happen that way. I don't have much of a relationship with my parents because I quickly realized it was painful and not worth the trauma. I am able to talk to my birth siblings, and I have built a fairly strong relationship with them. I know I'm lucky to have a loving new family to come home to every night. Thank you so much for listening to my story. In my next episode, I will be interviewing the woman who took me in and accepted me as her own. Like I mentioned earlier, she left the church as an adult and her experience differs greatly from mine. If you're interested in her story, keep listening. I will also include good resources for people who have questions about the history of the church.